Because after so many Christmases, we tend to think that we know everything there is about the birth of Jesus Christ. We become a little like the little girl who came home from Sunday school waving a paper and said, "Mommy, my teacher says I drew the most unusual Christmas picture she has ever seen." And the mother took the little girl's picture from her hands and she studied it for a moment and she agreed. It was the most peculiar picture of Christmas that she had ever seen. And the mom gently asked, "Well, this is really wonderfully drawn, but why do you have all the people riding in the back of an airplane?" And the little girl said and looked at her mom and wondered why she couldn't see the obvious. "Well, it's the flight to Egypt." And the mother said cautiously, "Okay. Well, who is the mean-looking man at the front of the airplane?" And the girl was now, she was getting really impatient with mom, and she says, "Well, that's Pontius the pilot." Mom says, "I see." Well, and then the mom says, "Well, here you have Mary, and you got Joseph, and you got the baby." And she just looked at the picture silently just for a moment. And she took a risk, and she asked her daughter, "Well, who is the fat man sitting behind Mary?" And the little girl just sighed, "Can't you tell? That's Round John Virgin." I told you it was too good not to tell. Why don't we pray this evening, and we're going to share just a little bit about Christ coming. God, it's easy to think we know everything there is about the Christmas account. It's easy to lose the wonder and become spiritually dull. And I'm asking tonight, God, that you would return the wonder to some. That you would spark faith for the very first time in others. We're asking for more than nostalgia. We're asking for genuine faith and a deep stirring in our souls as we tell once again the good news of the birth, the incarnation of the glorious Son of God, Jesus. Amen. Would you have any favorite Christmas classics? Maybe it's A Christmas Carol by Dickens, or Miracle on 34th Street, or the ever popular A Christmas Story, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, right? Or maybe the Christmas TV shows. You remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Frosty the Snowman, Charlie Brown's Christmas, you know all these, right? How about Santa Claus is Coming to Town with the villain Burgermeister Meisterburger? You know that one? Yeah. For a lot of people, it's Jimmy Stewart's It's a Wonderful Life. But you know, all these Christmas carols, these Christmas classics, you know, they convey some truths about family and friendship and generosity, but ultimately they fall short. They fall short in their ability to guide us towards inner peace, don't they? They fall short in the Bible's message of life, true life, eternal life. And, you know, when we sit down and we speak with a heartbroken person who's going through a divorce, or we talk to someone whose parent is sick or dying, we don't recite lines to them from It's a Wonderful Life, do we? We don't ask them to pray and ask them to put their hope in Santa Claus. Those things fall way short. And you know, the prophet Isaiah foretold in a prophecy what the world would be like when Jesus was born. He said in Isaiah chapter 9, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress, In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor the Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us, what? A child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When Jesus was born, the world was a dark place. Politicians enacted laws that advantaged themselves and oppressed others. There were threats of war, threats of invasion, families struggling economically. Hopelessness had attached itself to men and women and sucked the life right out of their souls. Physical death, emotional death, spiritual death, that was the characterization of the age at the time of Christ's coming. And you know, if we're honest, we could characterize the age in which we live in the very same way. And what men and women need is a trustworthy guiding light, don't they? A light that shines hope in their darkest moments and in their deepest hurts. And in their spiritual confusion. And in the message of Christmas, we have this light. We have this light. Jesus broke into the world to be the world's light. Amen? That's what the Apostle John said. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I think Christmas time is an unusual time, and I think that we need to be really careful that we don't view Jesus as just this seasonal light. You know, we're creatures who live by seasons, right? Especially in Indiana, right? We had a beautiful sunny day today. Wait for tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's coming. And we experience all four seasons, but so many of us, we also live by holiday seasons. And when we think about Jesus, we're at risk of viewing him as seasonal. He's the seasonal Jesus, not the eternal Christ. But Jesus Christ was born, stepped onto the scene of human history, came to humanity as the lasting light, and he's still offering his light, and he's offering to light up people's lives with meaning and purpose and with true life today. The light of his presence is still available. How many believe that? It's available to us in every moment, in every circumstance, in every season, in every turn of our lives. Jesus is the light. Now I want to read a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 2 this evening. And there's a couple of things I want to bring out to you this evening. Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born to the King of the Jews?" "We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard that this, he was disturbed, and all the Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him. And after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, it seems that to be an unusual account of Scripture to share at this time of the Christmas account, because all this happened after he was born. But it does hold some significant messages for us, and I want to share those with you. Here's the first message for you tonight. Our lives matter. Our lives matter. There appears to be so much insignificance in the Christmas account, isn't there? The little town of Bethlehem, right? Apparently felt insignificant because there was a prophetic reminder that even though they thought it, they were not least of all. Small doesn't have to mean insignificant. And so we have the little town of Bethlehem, the little insignificant town of Bethlehem. We have Mary and Joseph, ordinary people, small town in Galilee, ordered to go to an even smaller town in Judea. They got up, no doubt. They worked hard every day, dropped in bed exhausted. You know that drill, right? Got up the next day, they did it all over again. And they asked the question that we often ask, why? What for? Why am I doing this? What's it all for? Does my life really matter? But we know to God, their lives mattered, eternally mattered. So we have the town of Bethlehem. We have Mary and Joseph, who are ordinary people. We have the wise man who came from somewhere in the east, right? Some say modern day Iraq, Iran, Yemen. We don't know, but that's all they get in the historical record, somewhere from the east. Where do you live? Oh, I live over in that direction. Just a small town. You can't find it on Google Maps. People try to find us all the time, and they call and they say, the GPS had us going down all these dirt roads. We never did find your place. That's where the wise men lived. But we know that the Magi weren't insignificant, were they? They confirmed to these young parents that everything about Jesus was all true. It was all true. So here's the message tonight that I think is important. If you're wondering why you're here tonight, what I'm about to share, I think could be the most important thing you hear tonight. If you think that life's purpose is something that, you know, that comes up in your life a lot, you think about it a lot, your story is not about a wonderful life, your story is about struggling daily with significance in your life, let me just listen carefully to what I have to say. Your life matters to God. Your life matters to God. And if it didn't, God would not have sent Jesus to be the light of the world and the Savior of the world. God would say to you, you matter. You matter. Your life matters. And so, if there's anything that you hear tonight, hear that. Your life matters. You matter to God. But you know, in the wise men, we see something else. We see something important. We see something that often happens. You know, we sometimes set out on some very dark, empty paths, don't we? These wise men who came to look for Jesus were educated. They were wealthy. They were influential. They were held in high esteem in their own society. The Bible says that they paid close attention to stars. Today we would say they dabbled in astrology. And so many people look for signs, don't they? They look for omens. They look for karma. They look for a fortune. They look for some mystical answer to be dropped into their laps. And all those things cannot provide you the help that you need. They cannot shed any light on your life. They're dark and they're empty paths. And so the wise men, they were on this quest for truth, and they were on this quest for meaning. They were on this quest for purpose, and they were looking for something and someone bigger than themselves to explain and make life clear to them. Isn't that what we want? Right? Isn't that the place where we find ourselves in a lot? And then something happened, though, for the Magi. You know, the Magi searched in the Hebrew Scriptures. And in the Word of God, they discovered a prophecy. In the book of Numbers, they found these words of Balaam: a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And the fascinating thing is this, that the Word of God, the Scriptures, pointed them to a star, and then the star pointed them back to the Word. Because isn't that what John called Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so if they didn't have any doubts, if they had any doubts at all, those were melted away when they saw Jesus. And what they discovered was the God who made the universe, the God who made the moon, the God who made the stars, was in the stable. He was there. The Scripture says they saw Jesus and they bowed down to worship him. They bowed down to worship to this baby. It was at that moment that they discovered the meaning of life. It's not found in their vast knowledge. It wasn't found in their education. It was not found in their accumulated riches. It's not found in the prestige of being a wise man. God had revealed the meaning of life to them, and they found it in Jesus. And I hope that you have found it tonight in Jesus. They found it in a relationship with the King of Kings, and in their hearts they were always to keep a bended knee to Jesus. They were now worshipers of Jesus. Worshipers of Jesus. And you know what? Our lives have this similar feel to them sometimes. We feel like we're walking down a dark path. We feel uncertain. We're tentative about our lives. We're not certain about our purpose. How do I actually know if I'm going in the right direction? Well, did you know that one of the main reasons Jesus came from heaven to earth is to lead us? He came to lead us. Jesus sees us stumbling around in the darkness. He has compassion for you and me. And he says to you and I want to lead you. I want to illuminate your life. I want to bring meaning to your life. I want to lead you. And Jesus has broken into the world to do just that, to lead us with his life. Now, it's difficult sometimes understanding how such an ancient account can have any effect on our lives. But let me just get personal with you for a moment. I believe God is calling you and me to make Jesus the prime pursuit. That like the wise men, all of us find ourselves searching for real meaning in our lives. And so many times our search for some lasting meaning leads us to disappointment. Here's the good news of Christmas right here. God doesn't leave us on our own to discover the reason for living. How many think that's good news? He doesn't leave us on our own. God invites us on the journey toward meaning. He lights up our path. He meets us on the path. He guides us on the path. He's standing at the end of our path to embrace us. That's what he did for the wise men. God brightened the path for the Magi, which led right to Jesus. And I believe God has done that for so many of you who are here tonight. He's brightened your path, and he's led you right to Jesus. Let me just leave you with this, and then we'll prepare our hearts this evening. As always, with our candlelight services, we're going to end our service with communion. But let me just share this with you. God's message is the same for you and me. He's saying, I want you to meet my son. I want you to know my son. I want you to continue walking with my son. That's the message. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news that we're always talking about. We're not going to find true meaning in all of our traveling. We're not going to find meaning in our garages. We're not going to find them in our closets. We're not going to find lasting meaning in our bank accounts. We're not going to find it in some coveted position that we all desire. Jesus is the whole journey. He's the whole journey. And when we discover who Jesus is, we discover who we are. We discover true meaning. And I hope that you've discovered that tonight. I hope that each of you have discovered that. And if you have yet to do anything with Jesus, if you don't have any faith relationship with Jesus at all, I'm going to ask you to be bold this evening. I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. And just pray this prayer, Lord, move me from knowing about you to really knowing you. I want to experience your kindness, God, your love. I want to experience your forgiveness. Move me from being a skeptic to a follower. And so simply ask Jesus tonight, if you've not done anything with Jesus, maybe you've not even thought too much about him, simply ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, invite him to be your Savior, and to take leadership of your life, to let him lead you. Here's the thing I want to leave with you. Don't let this be another Christmas where you give Jesus a little bit of seasonal honor and then walk out and dismiss him from your life as you walk out the door. All you got to do is say is whisper a simple prayer. Jesus, thank you for coming to me. I confess my sin, my kingdom of self, and I willingly submit my life to you. I want to know you. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know you, know beyond this life that I will experience and enjoy eternity with you in heaven. I want to know the Son who's come. In fact, why don't we just do this? Let's just pause. Let's just pause for just a moment. for those who would like to offer up that bold prayer to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to finish out our evening by receiving the bread and the cup of communion. And if you think about it, communion is a Christmas celebration. We remember He came to earth with one express purpose. In communion, that's what we remember. We remember that God broke into the world in the person of Jesus, bringing grace and truth. His truth reveals the deep pit of depravity that every person finds themselves in. His grace helps you and me out of the pit of sin and into a life of purpose. Grace and truth. Jesus comes and brings both grace and truth. Jesus came as our Savior. He came as our King. Jesus comes as our Emmanuel. He comes as God with us. And so let me just give you a few instructions this evening as you make your ways up to the tables after I pray. First of all, we have a special song for you that we hope is meaningful to you. I just encourage you to take some time to listen as you're making your way up to the tables today. Secondly, tonight, is our small choir tonight going to help us? Tonight, we're asking you to just take a piece of the bread that you'll find on the tables to my left and to my right. Just take a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup one time, take and eat it, and then go back to your seats, if you will, quietly. And we'll finish up with a closing prayer. And I also want to say this. If you prayed that bold prayer for the very first time to become a follower of Jesus, a worshiper of Jesus, I'm going to stay up front here for just a little while after we conclude. And I'd love for you to come and share with me the commitment that you made, the prayer that you made to be bold and to ask Christ to come into your life. And for those of you who can stay, we invite you to make your way to the fellowship hall through the double doors in the back, and we'll have some refreshments for all of us tonight. But let's pray and prepare our hearts to receive. Lord, we thank you so much that you broke into our world. You broke in bringing grace and truth. You broke in bringing forgiveness and life and light and guidance and meaning and purpose. You broke into the world to reveal yourself to us. What greater gift is there than to have the God of the universe come and meet with us. Come and be with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. meet with us tonight, God. Meet with us in a personal way, in a powerful way. As we take the bread, we dip it into the cup. Meet us in that moment. And let the reality that Jesus has come to us penetrate our hearts, driving deep within us. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Come to the tables of the Lord, if you will.
God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the everlasting Lord. He shall reign forevermore. Yeah.
incarnate love divine. Starry angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Come and see what God has done.
Pray with me. Lord Jesus, come to us. Be born in us this night, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. May the light of your life be kindled in us. Come lead us to the truth that God is with us, God is for us, God is in us. May the wonder of Christ's coming bring us to our knees in worship. We pray these things in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you for coming tonight. We appreciate it so much. And please join us for some fellowship and refreshments in our fellowship hall. Amen. Thank you.